Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2432, with a release date of Friday, June 7th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The ARRL provides few insights into last month's cyber attack. Megapota sweeps the parks of Puerto Rico, and learning about amateur radio for college credit. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2432 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
As phones came back into service at the Connecticut headquarters of the ARRL, the League's communications remained sparse and carefully worded about the apparent cyber attack that disabled its network, servers, and other systems, including Logbook of the World. Breaking a public silence of not quite 1 week, the League said on its website that the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation and third-party experts had been called in early on to help investigate. The League said that managers formed an incident response team. The League's message, posted on the 4th of June on its website, offered no insights as to whether the source of the network shutdown came from an internal or external attack, but said the FBI told them they considered the incident, quote, unique, unquote. The League offered no further explanation. The ARRL has said that no sensitive data, such as credit card numbers, had been exposed, and any details about members were already publicly accessible from other sites. The ARRL's message said that the staff was testing applications and interfaces with an eye toward restoring their proper operation, but did not elaborate further. The ARRL contest portal was to be available on a limited basis, as the dates for International Digital Contest and the June VHF contest approached. Membership renewals were also being accepted online and by phone. Among ham radio outdoor enthusiasts, is anything quite so big as POTA? Try Megapota. In fact, that's what hams in Puerto Rico did late last month, and Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us how things went.
The nature of ham radio and the nature of nature itself connected in a very big way last month in the Caribbean as hams in Puerto Rico enjoyed the simultaneous activation of more than 20 parks throughout the island on the same day. One of the organizers, Emilio, WP4KEY, told Amateur Radio Newsline in an email, quote, May 26, 2024 has been written in gold letters in the book of amateur radio in the Caribbean because this has been the largest event to be held, end quote. It was as much a celebration as an activation. Hams participated from the Amateur Radio Alliance, KP4ARA, the Lars Radio Club, KP4NET, and numerous other groups worked stations in South America, Australia, Europe, and the U.S., and elsewhere in the world. Emilio told Newsline that this was the second event of its kind, but the inaugural Megapota, held on November 16, 2019, was nowhere near this size. As Emilio told Newsline, quote, Megapota offers for activators a unique experience that blends technology with the great outdoors and hunters a unique opportunity to get those sometimes difficult to get clubs and parks, including some for the first time as activators, end quote. Emilio activated with his wife Wanda, KP4NYC, and his son Emilio, KP4HBK. Megapota 2025 is already in the works. Emilio said that next year's activations will include more demonstrations for members of the public stopping by and offer guided tours of the island's cultural and natural attractions. Next year, he expects to have even more to celebrate. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Planning and coordination were at the root of what made Puerto Rico's Megapota a success. Somehow, however, the stars seem to have aligned on their own among summits on the air enthusiasts in a number of European countries. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, explains.
Several groups of SOTA hams have decided quite independently to declare the 8th and 9th of June a big summits on the air weekend, each in their own way. SOTA activators in Switzerland and France are preparing for their respective mountain activation days during the weekend. In Wales, the big summit-to-summit event on Saturday the 8th will be followed by a hog roast. VHF is not left out, with the Spanish VHF SOTA FM event on the 8th, and in England, the 144 MHz Backpackers Scaling Summit on the 9th. If propagation is cooperative, all this could create some very full logs, sometimes even when there's no organised international effort, enthusiasm seems to help things along. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
For more than six decades, Project Oscar was a success, but now Project Oscar is no more. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us about the organization that built and launched the first ham radio satellite and all that followed.
Amateur radio satellites were the reason Project Oscar came into being. From that first 22-day orbit by Oscar 1 in 1961, followed by subsequent satellites, a total of 121 Oscars over six decades. Now the organization is being dismantled, and AMSAT is to receive its remaining funds. AMSAT has also been given the right to use the term OSCAR, which is an acronym for Orbiting Satellite Carrying Amateur Radio. AMSAT expressed its appreciation for the 64-year journey of the early organization and issued a statement on AMSAT News saying, quote, "The large and growing amateur satellite community owes its existence to those early pioneers who decided that amateur radio has a place in space and made it happen. AMSAT is committed to upholding the legacy of those early pioneers and keeping amateur radio in space," end quote. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
A special delivery is underway. The first rock and soil samples from the far side of the moon. China's mission to the dark side of the moon is returning with that precious cargo, the first samples of its kind gathered by any lunar exploration. The Chinese National Space Administration mission faced special challenges. Among them, the uncrewed mission relied on communication with a specially deployed relay satellite because there is no direct radio communication with the dark side of the moon. Created just this past February, the STEM Amateur Radio Club is already getting in quite a bit of airtime with balloons. Jack Parker, W8ISH, catches up with their progress.
Kids and balloons naturally go together, but when the kids, some as young as nine, are ham radio operators, you can bet that what fires them up more than anything are Pico balloons. With Bill Brown, WB8ELK, as their mentor, Vicki Carnes, AD3I, who started the club, guided the youngsters in launching two Pico balloons from the Xenia Fairgrounds during Hamvention. They are now preparing for a launch near Andrew Jackson State Park in South Carolina during Field Day, using the club call sign N4TVV-1. Vicki believes this is amateur radio showcasing some of its more educational moments to young hams. She told Newsline, quote, "The really awesome thing about Pico ballooning, other than the technical side, is kids learn about world geography and it sticks with them. I think it stays with them because it's personal," end quote. In short, if they didn't know anything about the Aleutian Islands or the Canary Islands before, they do now because the one surviving balloon, W8BI-12, had those locations on its very trackable path. It recently completed a circumnavigation of the globe 8 miles above the planet, and the kids are along for the ride. If you want to share the tracking, its 2-meter signal with them, visit APRS-FI, the live APRS map, and in the top right corner, enter the call sign, N4TVV-1. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
NASA astronauts Sonny Williams, KD5PLB, and Butch Wilmore at last launched into space on the morning of Wednesday the 5th of June aboard the first Boeing Starliner, following a series of aborted attempts and delays tied to technical issues dating back to May. The pair are scheduled to stay on the ISS for about 10 days. NASA's Commercial Crew Program has a $4.3 billion contract with commercial space transport providers, and the two astronauts comprise Boeing's first crewed mission in that program. Time for you to identify your station. We're the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N8NC repeater of the North Coast Amateur Radio Club, Brunswick, Ohio, Sundays 8 p.m. during the weekly information net. June's arrival means it's time to shine a little light on those beloved beacons of maritime safety, the lighthouses and lightships around the world. The weekend event coming up in August is not a contest, but you might say there's a little bit of friendly competition going on right now among operators in various countries to see who can register as many of these historic structures as they can. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us about it.
Lighthouses and lightships have typically transmitted reliable light beams to guide ships home from their journeys over the years. On August 17th and 18th, HAMS will be at many of those same sites transmitting signals from Australia, Argentina, Germany, the UK, Belgium, South Africa, the US, and any other country that takes pride in the history that makes each of them so special. Some stations will be QRP, others may operate QRO. Some stations will be operated solo and others by teams. There are no restrictions, just guidelines. Registration is not mandatory, but organisers strongly encourage it. Visit the website illw.net for details. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The United States isn't the only country which has seen debates over the future of commercial AM radio broadcasting. In Japan, AM transmitters are being increasingly shut off, as we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
A handful of Japan's AM radio broadcasters have ended their transmissions. Operators say it's only for a trial period so officials can study the impact of the loss of this form of radio broadcasting, which has been on the air in Japan for some 99 years. 13 of Japan's 47 AMers have gone silent, according to the Japan Today website. The trial shutdown is being conducted so the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications can evaluate the impact of the suspensions. AM station operators cite the increasing cost of maintaining and upgrading facilities that far exceed the cost of stations broadcasting on FM. They also note that FM radio and other forms of transmission are not prone to the same static and noise that can plague an AM signal. Many AM radio broadcasters are already offering something called wide range FM as an alternative, allowing the same programs to be broadcast on FM radio, including public safety announcements for disaster preparedness. The increased popularity of podcasts also affects the number of radio listeners. Japan's communications ministry says the trial shutdown could finish as late as January 2025. At that point, the broadcasters will have to make up their minds whether to return to the air or go silent forever. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
It's no secret that leaders such as Gordon West, WB6NOA, and Carol Perry, WB2MGP, stand for the very best of what we can give back to the amateur radio community. Recognizing this, awards carrying their names are given each year at Hamcation in Orlando, Florida, where the next convention is set for February 7th through the 9th of 2025. The Hamcation Committee will accept nominations for these recognition awards through the 1st of November. HAMS, whose efforts have focused on the nurturing and advancement of young radio operators, may be nominated for the Carol Perry Educator of the Year Award, which is bestowed on an individual who has made an outstanding contribution to educating, mentoring, and advancing youth in amateur radio. Nominees for the Gordon West Ambassador of the Year Award should demonstrate ambassadorship in the true sense of the word, engaging in volunteer efforts that include promoting amateur radio at public events, fostering understanding among non-amateurs, and helping spread goodwill. You'll find links to the text version of this week's newscast that give additional information about the awards and provide access to nomination forms. In the world of DX, listen for Mike AB5EB on the HF bands as HQ9EB from Roten Island, iota number NA057 in Honduras, until the 11th of June. Mike will also compete in the ARRL June VHF contest, taking place the 8th through the 10th of June. QSL via his home call. The RSGB's National Radio Center at Bletchley Park is commemorating the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings by hosting special event station GB2DAY through the 9th of June. Listen on 80 and 40 meters, where operators will be using CW and SSB, QSL via EQSL. Five radio operators will be using their personal call signs from Isla Gorgona, iota number SA017, from the 7th through the 11th of June. Listen for HK4C, HK4LPA, HK4SSI, HK4T, and HK4X. A special event call sign may be announced later. Operators will be using SSB, FT8, and FT4 on 80 through 6 meters. They'll also operate by way of satellite. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for John K9EL, who is operating holiday style as FS/K9EL from St. Martin, iota number NA105 through the 19th of June. Although he'll be on the HF band, his main focus will be 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Never mind graduation ceremonies. At one prestigious university in Pennsylvania, the recent end of the semester ends not with a cap and gown, but an amateur radio license. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, explains.
The three-credit course is called Introduction to Amateur Radio, and it recently concluded its spring semester in the College of Engineering at Carnegie Mellon University. This isn't the kind of weekend ham cram of one-day course many U.S. amateurs have become accustomed to. This is technology, history, and a bit of sociology, taking students from the Radio Act of 1912, which gave the public its rights to the electromagnetic spectrum, to antenna building, satellite communications, and operating safely in the field. Assistant teaching professor Tom Zeidel, AA3TZ, told public radio station WESA that ham radio's changing technology will always ensure it has a future. The course was introduced in 2023, and never mind getting an A or a B, the real test is sitting for the FCC exam. Anish Zingani, K3RTL, who took the course, is now president of the University Radio Club. He told the public radio station, quote, "I think it's one of the very unique things about ham radio. It's a people thing. At its core, it's about the people." End quote. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to the ARRL, Amateur Radio Weekly, AMSAT, BBC, Carnegie Mellon University, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, DX World, Emilio Ortiz Jr., WP4KEY, 425 DX News, Hamcation, Japan Today, NASA, QRZ.com, shortwaveradio.de, Vicky Carnes, AD3I, WESA Public Radio, Yahoo News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website, arnewsline.org, and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.